There is a creeping darkness sweeping across the sky.
Butterscotch
Shenanigans. Hey everybody, welcome to Coffee with Butterscotch. We are Butterscotch Shenanigans. I'm Seth.
And I'm Adam.
We are a video game studio. We make awesome games. They're all on iOS and Android currently. If you want to find them, you can search for our company name, Butterscotch Shenanigans, in the app stores. And we also have an upcoming game called Crashlands, which will be on every platform in the universe, except for some. If you want to head to games.bscotch.net, you can check all of our games out. And if you've listened to our podcast before, you might notice that it sounds a little different, namely because normally Sam is our MC and he's not here. But we will get to that in a moment. But first, we have a disclaimer, which is this podcast is not for children or kids, because there's going to be language, there's going to be very aggressive language sometimes, and topics.
Aggressive topics.
That are not suitable for children. There might be horsing around. None of these things are acceptable for children to listen to.
Nope.
So if you're a child, go away.
And baby goats should also not be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, kids, goats, any small animals, baby animals of any kind.
Monkeys, just whatever. Keep them out of here.
So why Adam, why is Sam not here?
Well, it's because, as many of you will know, Sam has been battling some stupid-ass cancer for, not ass cancer, blood cancer. Ass cancer is a different thing. Stupid-acid. So he's been battling lymphoma for nearly 2 years now, and is currently stuck in the hospital in a tiny, tiny hospital bed being filled with rabbit blood for some reason.
Well, they sometimes use horse blood, so he got the rabbit. I think they just flip a coin and decide which animal's blood to put. But it's actually, it's white blood cells from a rabbit. And basically what they do, so he's getting a stem cell transplant, and they have to knock down his immune system first. And in order to do that, they pump an animal's immune system, basically their white blood cells, into his body. And then there's a battle of the immune systems that goes down, kind of like in Star Wars.
Yeah, and apparently rabbit immune systems are just more powerful.
Yeah, or equal to horse. I'm not sure what other animals are suitable, but these are... The other thing I was wondering is, you know, that's a pretty good-sized bag of rabbit juice they have him hooked up to. I wonder how many rabbits they had to juice.
Well, and they do it every day, right? For like a week or something.
Yeah. So I'm kind of wondering if maybe the hospital just has like a, you know, in the basement, they've got a little rabbit menagerie that they're just constantly squeezing these rabbits and getting the juices out and then pumping it upstairs. So he's going to do this all week. He's stuck in a tiny shoebox of a room, which I think it's inhumane, but, you know, what are you going to do? We're paying for that service, I guess. So he's going to get this new immune system. Or, sorry, he's going to get his immune system killed by rabbits.
Well, and also radiation. So they're also blasting it with x-rays every day so they can...
Yeah, so he's just getting hammered. So he's busy and he's not feeling the best. So he'll be getting this new donor immune system sometime next week. And then there'll be some recovery time, and he'll be back on track. And for those of you who are around for the last transplant that he had, this one will be a lot less intense in terms of how hard it is for him.
Yeah.
So he's doing okay, but he's just super tired and everything. And so he decided to sit out of the podcast for now.
And it still sucks. I mean, it's not as bad as getting pumped full of poison. Because the last time he was being pumped full of, like, horrible, you know, poisons that are meant to nearly kill you, but kill your cancer faster. So relatively speaking, this is a cakewalk.
Oh yeah, it's not as bad as nearly dying.
But it's not great. And on that note, you should go to vibes.bscotch.net, where I put together a little, I'm calling it the Wall of Vibes. You can go to and leave a message for Sam, just tell him that, you know, to kick cancer's ass and stuff. Keep the positivity flowing.
Say whatever you want.
Yeah.
As long as it's positive.
As long as it's positive. Leave a funny picture or video. You know, whatever. Just, again, go to vibes.bscotch.net and you can send some positivity Sam's way.
Yeah, so we've been... So that's been kind of taken up some time of ours for the past little while. We made a beta announcement on Friday that we were going to be trying to get the Crashlands beta out next Friday. It's hard to say whether we'll hit that. Sam is probably going to be a lot more tied up in the hospital than we originally thought. So I guess we will have to see what we're able to get done.
Yeah, the goal is to be able to continue working. And Seth and I, of course, will continue working. But Sam thought that he could keep on making art and working on the story and doing some other things while he was stuck in the hospital. But, you know, he's supposed to spend all of his time being monitored very closely and dealing with things that come up and moving from room to room. It's a really, really, even if he's feeling okay, it's a very hard place to get work done.
Well, and he was also telling, so he's got this bed that constantly, like about every 10 minutes, his bed will just go and it like inflates in different patterns. Because it's one of these beds that's meant for like people who literally don't move for weeks at a time, who would then like develop bed sores and stuff.
Oh.
So the bed automatically like shifts your body around, but he doesn't need that because he can still move around, and he told them to turn it off, and they said no, because they said, what if you code? Like as if somehow his heart's gonna stop because this bed isn't annoyingly hissing at him every 10 minutes.
They thought that not moving the bed would cause him to code.
Yeah, and the crazy thing is they said this the first night he was in there, and he hadn't even had any drugs or anything. He was just like, I just walked in here. Like, you think I'm just gonna have a heart attack from laying in this bed? So not the best. And apparently this bed also has a high probability of malfunctioning and then sort of like deflating in the middle and just creating this weird sort of like long like trench where you just kind of like sink into the middle of the bed. It's not the most comfortable.
Doesn't sound like it.
You would think for as expensive as those hospital beds are, you'd get some really good bang for your buck, you know, Tempur-Pedic, some kind of memory foam. Maybe you'd be sleeping on a cloud or something, but no. Yeah. It's a pneumatic trench machine.
It almost seems like the more you pay, the worse everything gets when it comes to hospitals.
Yeah, well, there's probably a curve, you know, because it's probably, if you don't pay very much at all, you're probably not going to get much either.
Well, maybe it's a circle, so you just come right back to square zero.
Yeah, exactly. But in order for me to kind of help, or to help me kind of deal with all this crap that's been going on, my wife and I taught my dog how to give high fives. So I've been getting dog high fives for 2 days, which has really improved my spirits.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I've had to, so we taught her to, you know, like she's a dog, so the only way to teach her anything is with food. And so we taught her to give high fives through the use of treats. But what this means now is she just expects that if she just delivers a high five unprovoked to anybody, that they're going to give her a treat. And so I was trying to eat a sandwich yesterday, and she just kept jumping up and trying to slap my hand while I was eating the sandwich. So I've moved from getting, you know, getting provoked dog high fives to now just getting sort of harassed by a barrage of dog high fives.
Are certainly worse situations to be in.
Yeah, creating a high-fiving dog monster is a pretty good accomplishment, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on my resume. Yeah, and then Adam and I have been playing Rocket League.
Yeah, Rocket League is great. Imagine playing soccer, only you're playing with race cars that have rocket engines and can fly, and that's what this game is.
Yeah, and then you don't need to imagine it because it's already a game. Yeah, go on Steam, pay $20, and you can play the crap out of it. It's super hard, and the great thing about it is, you know, unlike a lot of games where there's sort of like a leveling up system where you get more powerful, and then if you come in as a new player, all these veterans who know how to play the game, they've been playing for a long time, they also have a whole bunch of like really badass weapons or whatever, and they just crush you, right? But in Rocket League, there's nothing like that. It's just purely a skill game. So you can just go right in and just start jamming.
But you will start out being very terrible. The advantage people have on you is because they've been playing more, which is exactly the advantage they should have. So it just takes a lot. We mentioned this game last week, actually, because we were playing it then. We've been playing it ever since. It's one of the few games in recent years, even, that we all kind of kept up for longer than a week at a time.
I think it's been probably 5 or 6 years since we played a game as a trio of bros very extensively at all.
We played a lot of Left 4 Dead 2.
Yeah, that was
back in the day. Yeah.
Oh, and if you want to play with us, you know, maybe drop a line in the forums, and we'll do a little 2v2 or something. Be aware, we will crush you because we've been playing for a good 5 days now.
Yeah, and by crush you, what Seth means is that we will accidentally run into your vehicle.
We're gonna run into your vehicle. One of us will explode, you or us.
Yeah,
we'll probably miss the ball most of the time that we go for it, and we will also crush you by accidentally knocking the ball into our own goal, probably 3 to 4 times per match.
Yeah.
So we have a pretty specific set of strategies. It hasn't paid off yet.
Not particularly well. But that also brings up another thing that we have started using, which is this cool VoIP, voice over IP app called Discord. You can get it at discordapp.com, I think. I just downloaded it a second ago. But it's really cool. It lets you set up a persistent server for a VoIP connection, where you can just hop in and out, and also for chat. So you can just kind of hop in and out of these rooms and use those for gaming. It supposedly has way less overhead than things like Skype and stuff, so making it better for gaming. But we're actually using it now for all of our Butterscotch stuff.
Yeah, the cool thing for us for Butterscotch is, since you can have these persistent rooms, so you can think about it like, if you're using Skype or Google Plus or whatever, if you want to talk to somebody, you have to call them directly, right? But with something like Discord, you have what you can think of as little rooms. And if you're just hanging out in one of these rooms, then you are just in a persistent call. And somebody else who's on that server who has that information, they can just jump right into that room and just start talking. So we've been using it for work. We've been using it for Rocket League. I mean, the possibilities are endless, even though those are the only two things that matter in life. So yeah, check it out, discordapp.com. We'll put a link on the podcast page for it. And what else? Oh yeah, you've been playing Fallout Shelter. That just came to Android. It's kind of old news, I think. It was on iOS.
It's been on iOS for
a while ago.
Yeah, a good like 4 months or so, maybe even longer than that.
One of those staggered launches.
Yeah, for some unknown reason. Well, it was kind of a funny thing that Bethesda, who makes the Fallout games, that they did, which was, I think it was at EA, they were talking about Fallout 4, which they had just announced.
Oh.
And then they simultaneously announced, hey, also we made this mobile game, which will be available today on iTunes.
Was there a big outrage about it?
No, people were really excited because it was a completely surprise announcement that they just made this random game.
Oh, people didn't have time to get mad.
Well, I mean, Android users got mad because they were like, why the fuck is this only for iOS, since it always is?
Oh, right.
And then they didn't say anything at all about Android. And then, you know, a couple months later or something, they made that announcement elsewhere that they were getting close to having that done. So it is now launched. I think it's just been end of last week, so it's only been out for a few days. I've been playing it. It's one of those, you know, group management kind of games. So so you're building a vault, and so you can build new rooms, you know, deeper into the mountainside that you're inside of. It's a cool graphical style because they have the same cartoony 50s style characters that they have in like all the magazines and stuff in the other Fallout games. And so your characters are
like when you take the goat.
Yeah, exactly. So the characters are clearly
all the little cartoons.
Yeah, so the characters are clearly these 2D, you know, cartoony characters. But then the vault itself is actually 3D and a very nicely rendered interface. And the animations are kind of fun and fluid and stuff. So it's a really cool style for sure. It's a free to play game.
Is there any kind of an overarching story to it, or is it just more like a sim
sort of
management?
Yeah, it's more of a sim management. So it's the same premise as, you know, all the other Fallout stuff, which is nuclear holocaust is coming.
Sure, yeah, we've all been there.
Yep. So Vault-Tec, who is the company in the series that owns all of these underground, you know, shelters that people can go to, these Fallout shelters. So you basically are the overseer for one of these vaults. So your job is to keep your population happy and keep the thing running and grow the population to sort of fill up the available space, which I think when it's all said and done, I think you can get hundreds of people that you're managing in this thing.
Are you able to like produce food in the
vault? Yep, so you make food. Yeah, so you make food and you purify water, and you have to make power, and then you can train up the skills of all of your people so they do all that stuff better. And you can send characters out into the wasteland to go try to find, you know, guns and armor and all kinds of stuff that's just out in the wilderness. And then you get attacked by raiders who break in and try to steal your stuff, and you get attacked by other kinds of beasts that are seen in the other games.
I see.
Yeah, it's a cool game. It suffers from what this kind of game always suffers from, which is that when you're waiting for something to happen, because it takes a few, all the timers are a few minutes, you know, to make things happen. Some of them are hours, like for having a baby or a kid growing up into an adult so that they're useful. And so the timers on those are like 3 hours. If you're training somebody, it can be 8 hours. If you're sending somebody out to the wilderness and want them to come back with a full set of loot, that can be a day even. So they have all these, they have a lot of long, long timers, and also a lot of short ones that are just long enough, like a few minutes, to be annoying because there's just nothing. There's still nothing to do.
1 minute
exactly. So you just kind of you kind of go. So it's meant to be played on mobile. That's why it'll probably never be on desktop. It's meant to be played in, you know, a few minute spurts where you go kind of manage some things, put it away, go back to work for a few hours, and come back. So for what it is, for that kind of game, it's really well done, very well produced. The IAP is pretty fair. It's you basically buy cards, which then randomly give you stuff that you can use to improve your place, and also Mr. Handys, who is that robot that you see in I think Fallout 3, whichever one. Anyway,
New Vegas probably.
Maybe, but a robot character who can like go manage your resources for you and stuff.
Now, I always wonder about this kind of stuff because when we first started making games, I was really skeptical. You know, people would say, oh, well, you know, mobile gamers, they only play for 2 minutes. So you got to make sure that you make your game to fit that, that play style. And I was like, no, it's the problem is the games. It's that the games only...
Yeah, they like only support a few minutes of gameplay before they're boring.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But then once we started getting analytics for our games, which are more action-y, like you can play them in a few minutes at a time, but there's nothing keeping you from continuing to play for hours, right? Yeah. But still, even in Quadrupus Rampage and Tau Fight, you know, our median playtime is like 2.5-3 minutes per session.
Yeah.
I guess mobile gamers really do just, that's how they play. So that's why people make those games.
Yeah, it still is hard to say because, you know, that also means that mobile gamers are being trained to play in a certain way and trained to expect certain things and all that. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's a context thing. You know, if you always have your phone with you.
Yeah.
Even, you know, you'll be at the dentist office, you'll be waiting for a sandwich, you know, at a restaurant or something where you've got like 5 minutes to play or something, and that's it.
Yeah, so now think about this from a stats perspective, right? If if what you're measuring is the, say, like median playtime per session, then most of your sessions as a mobile gamer are going to be those like random moments that you have a few minutes here and there, right, to play the game. Even if you then go home that night or the morning before you go to work or during your lunch break or whatever and sit down and play for like half an hour or hours straight.
And what's interesting about that is if somebody just opens up the game for, say, 10 seconds because like, oh, maybe I have a minute to play. They open it up for 10 seconds and then it turns out, oh, no, sorry, something came up. They close the game back down again. You've just recorded a 10-second play session. Who knows what that means? I don't.
Who knows? Yeah, so I don't know. To me, I kind of think you should just... And we have in the past because we tended to believe what people told us about the mobile market, which has not been that wise of a strategy so far.
Well, I mean, the market's only a few years old, really. So nobody really knows what they're talking about.
Yeah, it's only a few years old. It changes all the time. So that's one of those things that we kind of took to heart, and we've been making games where the goal was that it should be not necessarily the only play style, but it should be playable in very short spurts. And I don't know, maybe we should just not worry about that. I kind of think that if a game is good so that people want it, then whatever play style that game requires, people will wait until they can play it in that fashion and then they'll do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about, you know, Square Enix is remaking all the Final Fantasy games on mobile and selling them for $15 a pop or whatever, and people are buying the crap out of those. Yeah. Part of it is, of course, the name recognition. It's also the case, you know, they aren't remaking them into mobile games. They're just putting them on mobile.
Well, and, you know, Final Fantasy fans would be pissed if it came out and they were like time management games. Yeah.
Well,
know?
That's why I was wondering when you said that they announced a Fallout game coming out on mobile and everybody was excited about it. But I can just as easily see the PC crowd getting really angry and being like, you just turned my favorite franchise into a garbage mobile game.
Well, and I think that was probably the idea behind their launch strategy, because their launch strategy literally was announce on the day that it is available that it exists, so that people, there wasn't a lag between the announcement and the game being available where people could bitch about it.
To just go look and see what it is.
Well, I guess, yeah, they get to go play it, and then they can see what it, you know, and then people can decide if they like the game based on the game itself, instead of saying, oh, this game is supposed to be like the other Fallout. Because it's not anything like the other Fallout games. I mean, it's clearly in that universe.
Yeah, uses the mythos of Fallout.
Yeah, exactly. So they did a really good job of making it so that nobody had time to complain. Pretty cool strategy. I mean, I think that strategy can only work if you're somebody like Bethesda who can just create a phenomenon.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you have the
franchise, the brand power of the Fallout series. You can just casually just go, by the way, we made this game, and then a million people go buy it immediately.
Yeah, and it was in the midst of all the hype about Fallout 4.
Yeah, speaking of mythos, we got a question from Hawkeye from our question form over at podcast.bscotch.net. Hawkeye asks, is there an overarching unifying mythos of the Butterscotch universe in which all of your creations exist? Or is it just total batshit insanity? It's awesome either way. Ben the lawyer. Yes, that Ben. We know Ben the lawyer. He lives here in St. Louis. So is there an overarching mythos of the Butterscotch universe? Yes, but we don't know what it is exactly.
It's an unplanned, ever-changing, retconned mythos.
Yeah, we took inspiration from League of Legends for this, which is, in League of Legends, they just were like, let's make a bunch of cool-looking characters to play as. And so they did. And then people started asking questions like, where do these people come from? Like, why does this character look like this? You know, why does this character talk like this? Why are they fighting? And so Riot started writing little sort of lore snippets for all the characters. And as this evolved over time, all the characters sort of came together into this unified backstory. And they even started, you know, naming different regions of the world and all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's to a point now where there's a very thorough lore base for all 120 whatever characters in League of Legends. So
yeah,
it definitely works. And I think that kind of approach works really well for our style, which is that we don't really plan or design anything. We just do what seems interesting at the time. And it usually happens to kind of fit our normal style because we made it. And then we can just kind of go back and update the stories. That's pretty much how we're doing it.
Which basically means that it is total batshit insane.
It is, but in a sane kind of a way.
Yeah, it's post hoc rationalized batshit insanity.
Yes, it's a specific brand of batshit. Just to give you an idea of some of the overarching common threads we have. The villains in our main three games are all of the same alien race.
The Viru.
They're called the Viru, which I don't think we've ever revealed.
People will notice it in the Crashlands creator.
Yeah. And in Talifight of the Gods, Talifight 2, the Monocle of Destiny, we referred to Joby and Forn and Morg and Tim as gods, like they're these god creatures. And in Quadrupus Rampage as well, Pete is the god of the sea. But really, what you'll learn over time in Crashlands a little bit is that these creatures are not gods. They're actually just very technologically advanced aliens who think of themselves as gods, and they are trying to dominate this planet. All three of the games take place on the same planet, and in Crashlands you will encounter some of the creatures and characters from Quadrupus Rampage. Yep. and Tommy. Like you'll see the quadrupi, they'll be making an appearance in Crashlands. So we're trying to, every game we make, we're trying to thread things forward. You also might see Brad and Will from Flop Rocket.
Yep.
In Crashlands.
And Grubby from both Talifight and Quadrupus Rampage.
Yeah. So all these characters have a place here. It's all part of the same.
Yeah, and Crashlands is the first attempt to really, to take what we had made, which was fairly, it was a little bit unified, but it was fairly disparate, and find a way to just stick it all together. by telling the story of Crashlands.
Yeah, that's pretty much all there is to it.
Since we're talking about Crashlands, we should probably provide a quick update about where we are with Crashlands. Which actually should go to our go to our blog, which is at butterscotch-shenanigans.com. We put up a post on Friday giving a pretty detailed update about where we are, our plans for the beta, which the beta applications are still open if you go to crashlands.net. And we were hoping to start the selection process this week. Which may mean most of the back-end stuff, like figuring out how it's going to work. But very soon, we'll start enrolling beta testers.
So make sure that you don't have the butterscotch robot going to your spam
folder. Yeah, because then you'll never know.
Because you might have a beta, Crashlands beta invite coming your way over the next couple of weeks.
Yep.
So you don't want to miss
it. And so the goal, though, so just to quickly summarize the strategy here is who knows what's going to happen since Sam is stuck in the hospital, and that'll slow his work down because it's pretty hard to work when you're having your blood removed from you.
Yeah.
So the goal, though, is if things kind of, if he can end up getting back to work, then in a couple weeks, so end of next week, the goal was to be ready to start the beta.
Correct.
It's unclear if we'll really make that, but that is the target.
Yeah, the game's in a spot now where I'm pretty sure even if you played the alpha last October, you're going to have your socks blown right off your feet.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. It's really, really good.
I think we're all really proud of it. It's coming along really well.
And it really is the case. It's just basically still, and it has been for weeks, you know, it's just effectively done. There's just all this little stuff that's left.
Which is one of the really annoying parts of game development is if you make a really good game and you put it out there on the market, you're just going to get smeared with 1-star reviews unless you add the ability to turn off the music and a pause button and a main menu right. with keyboard key mapping options. And, you know, there's all these little tiny features that aren't the game, but that people will trash your game itself if you don't put them in there. We got to do all these things, and it's a big pain, especially for a game of this size.
And what we're working on right now, this week, Seth and I are working on Bscotch ID integration, so that'll be, because we need that anyway before we start beta testing. And that's kind of the big cloud that's been hanging over this whole thing, is that we have all this cool stuff planned for Bscotch ID with Crashlands, namely that whole cross-platform game syncing thing and the Crashlands creator, so that you can make your own creations and then play them in the game. All that stuff is basically works, except it's not hooked up to Bscotch ID yet.
But soon, by the end of this week, it will be.
Yep, the goal is the end of this week we'll have that done, and which means, you know, things will be right on track for getting the beta started. So that's where we are with Crashlands.
All right, well, let's take a few questions from our listeners. Fans?
Viewers?
Whoever
fans?
These people are. I don't know. There's a bunch of people
haters?
That come in here and ask questions. So we should answer some of them.
Let's do it.
All right. So Aggravatus asks, where do you guys want to take the butterscotch? Oh, sorry. Where do you guys want to take butterscotch shenanigans in both the near and distant future? Adam, where do you want to take it?
Where do I want to take it?
I'm sure we all probably have different ideas.
Yeah, we have. Yeah, our kind of goals change a little. And so we've had similar questions in the past. And so the one that I think is generally true for the near future is that we want to be able to hire a few people who can offload the work that we don't like to do, which is mostly maintenance stuff. So we talked about in the past, so we can just kind of brush that aside, I think.
Yeah.
But otherwise, for near future is still basically just to kind of keep on pushing out some more games. So with Crashlands, my goal is for that to establish the name of the studio in people's minds so that they're actually looking for our games in a much broader sense than they are now. So that would be the very near, so that as a consequence of that, we have a larger fan base and we can put out a few more games that all can be successful without us having to basically beg for people's attention.
Yeah, and one really big advantage is if we hit a point where we have a really, really big sustainable player base, then we don't need to put time into marketing.
And then we can make more games.
Yeah, which right now when we want to launch a game, it's about a month of work that goes into making sure that people know about the game and that they're talking about it. And a lot of it, if not all of it, lands on Sam's shoulders, and he's sending out emails, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of emails, and setting up meetings and interviews and you name it, we're doing it to promote our games. And if we didn't have to do that, then we could spend that month making games instead.
Which would be great.
That would be the ideal short term.
Yeah, and then the long term, I guess, for if we're talking like actually distant, is to turn Butterscotch Shenanigans into basically an entertainment empire centered around video games.
Sort of like in Star Wars. I think that's...
Yes, and then we will strike back.
Yeah. Well, we don't need to strike back. We need to strike first.
Oh, that's true. That's probably a better move.
So we'll probably be living in a Death Star and, you know, the whole
thing. Works. It would be cool to really have an actual... Be the kind of still an indie studio, so not huge as a studio, but, you know, but a few, maybe tens of employees or something, making games at a decent rate, and then otherwise making services for other developers. Because I think one of the things that's becoming very clear is that game dev as an industry is kind of, it's really opening up a lot, and it's going to continue opening up, and you know, a lot of weird things are going to happen probably to the industry.
It already is very weird
but without a doubt there will be many more players coming in, but most because that barrier to entry is going to keep getting lower. Smaller and smaller numbers of people will be able to get away with doing more and more impressive things. So I just think that the market's going to become really interesting, and new developers coming in, because it's only a handful of people at a time. They're always missing, you know, large segments of what they need to run a studio. We've managed to, across the three of us, sort of fill most of the niches that need to be filled. But that's because we've all been actively trying to make that happen and, you know, really working at it. So kind of providing some sort of resources, you know, via Butterscotch Shenanigans for new studios, I think would be a very cool distant future.
We also want to do some stuff like put together courses here in St. Louis and teach people game dev. And, you know, one thing that is really lacking for game developers is any kind of formalized education or even really coherent theories or general understanding about how video games work. And, you know, there's all this stuff that we have really big ideas about internally that we don't talk about a lot. But I think it's really important for people to learn these things. And so, so we want to put together courses and that kind of thing. There's a lot of stuff in the future. We just have to sort of stay above water as a studio long enough to hit that point.
Yeah. And to be able to grow so we can pull off those kinds of things. And a lot of it is, you know, there's all kinds of stuff that all three of us want to do that also differs a bit. And so right now we can only do what we all agree is the consensus most important thing, because it's all we have the time and resources for. Actually grow and get more resources and stuff, then we'll each actually be able to branch the company out even independently to do the kinds of cool things that we all want to do. I guess that answers that.
Hell yeah. All right, so Kevin888 asks, "Oh, buttery and brotherly Butterscotch Shenanigans, what is the meaning of life?" I assume he asked it that way, with that tone of voice. What is it?
The meaning of life. I guess for me, living in a pseudo-capitalist country, meaning of life is to develop a safety net so that I could not worry about my future, which is really sad.
Well, I don't know if that would be the meaning of life. I think that's more of your purpose in life.
What's the difference?
I don't know. I don't know what it means. What is the meaning of life?
It depends on what you mean by mean.
I don't think life really means anything. You know, we like to think that we're pretty important.
And we are to ourselves and to people that we are close to.
We matter a lot in a very, very tiny sphere of the universe. Quite literally. It's a spherical planet. But yeah, I mean, I think that's something that's both humbling to know that there's however many billions and billions of galaxies. You know, I was reading this book and this really great analogy came up of, if you were to take a grain of table salt for every known galaxy in the universe and put that grain of table salt in the back of a dump truck, you would fill the entire dump truck with grains of salt. That's how many freaking galaxies there are. And each galaxy has what?
Billions of stars
stars in it. So, and each of those stars could have anywhere from, you know, 1 to 20 to what, you know, hundreds of planets orbiting. Who knows? So, I guess the overall point is nothing really matters, and nothing you ever do is going to reach much further than where you currently are.
Well, I mean,
so that, you might as well just. You
that's
might as
only
well just,
if you think for some reason that it's important that you affect other parts of the universe, which to me doesn't make
well,
any
I
sense.
I don't think it is. I don't think. I don't think anything
in this
is
one
important.
Small.
I think
place.
The only thing that's important is that you realize that you know you're only going to be alive this very one moment. You know, right now, this very short, brief moment in time, and that's yours. And other people, you shouldn't let other people decide what happens to that moment. You should just try to live it on your own terms and just do with your own moment whatever you want.
And that also means that you should not be taking other people's moments away from them or forcing them to do things that are a waste of their moment. Because then you're just an asshole.
Yeah, all this crap that comes up with various groups trying to, you know, take rights away from other people. And I mean, people spend so much of their lives trying to ruin other people's lives that they end up wasting everyone's time, including their own. Yeah, so just chill out and just do what you want and leave everybody else alone. That's the meaning of life.
That was a pretty good note to end on, I think.
Yeah, I think so. So this was Coffee with Butterscotch. If you want to ask some more questions for next week's podcast, head over to podcast.bscotch.net. You'll need to sign it. Actually, no, you can ask anonymously, can't you?
Oh, yeah, but you should sign in anyway. Then you can get a little avatar for your B-Scotch ID account of Coffee with Butterscotch if we answer your question. You should also go to vibes.bscotch.net and say something nice to Sam to cheer him up while he's stuck in the stupid hospital.
That's all there is. And head over to forums.bscotch.net to join our community and harass people nicely in a friendly way.
Nice harassment. Gentle harassment.
All right, you guys. Thanks a lot. And we will catch you next week.
Bye.
Peace.